Well, the billionaire businessman James Packer has publicly acknowledged his battle with mental illness and alcohol addiction. These revelations in a new biography being launched today called The Price of Fortune, The Untold Story of Being James Packer. It's written by News Corp journalist Damon Kitney. It's the first time a member of the Packer family has cooperated with a biographer. The book is a surprisingly frank account of James Packer's personal struggles with depression and paranoia, how he was crippled by the pressures and feelings of insecurity of taking over the reins of his father Kerry's business empire. Those struggles led directly to his decision to step down as a director of his company, Crown Resorts, in March this year, and later to quit all of his public commitments. Damon Kitney is in our breakfast studio. Damon, hello there.
Hi, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well, Damon. This is quite a read. You're one of the few journalists to get close to James Packer, this close, that you've been reporting on him for years. Why, in the end, do you understand he decided to talk publicly through this book about such intimate details of his life? This is a very intimate account, and he's cooperated with you on it.
Yeah, I can say at the outset, Fran, it wasn't easy by any means, as you can imagine. And at the outset, James actually said to me that he wasn't interested in doing a book. He said that about a year ago. But I think there's just been such a big void in the public discourse about, if I could term it, and I do term it in the book, his wild years. And you can think about basically from the time that he went offshore at the sort of end of 2012, and then it's well publicised, he got involved most significantly in a relationship with Mariah Carey and was engaged to her, but also he started a Hollywood film production company. He looked at building casinos in Las Vegas. He also had a big casino company or an investment, a casino company in Macau near Hong Kong. So I think through that period, there was a lot of speculation, conjecture about what actually happened to him, what he went through. Not much came out other than through the rumour mill, I guess. So I think when I got approached by a publisher to write this book and I went back to him, it took some time, but I think he decided that this would be the opportunity for him to tell his human story for the first time in his life. And it is a quite amazing human story.
It is, and it is a human story. I think that's important. I guess we should get this clear, Damon. Did he impose, I mean, his father's relationship with the press was publicly very testy, to say the least. Did James impose any conditions on the publication of the book? Did he vet it?
No, that's been the beauty of it from my point of view, is that James said at the outset that he did not want to read the manuscript before it was sort of published, which is, I guess, rare when you talk about this sort of access. But I think he wanted to say to the world, and he has said to all the people who cooperated with the book, that this is not my book. This is a third-party book. It's Damon's book, but I've chosen to cooperate with him, and I will not be reading it. He's even told me he won't be reading it any time. So I hope he changes his mind on that, because I think if he did read it, he would actually find it helpful, I think, because of the... There are painful parts in it, and there's no doubt that I think reading some of the extracts over the last couple of weeks, which I believe he has done, has been painful for him. But I think it's as you just used the word before, the humanity of his story is quite an amazing one. And I come back to your question before, you know, why was he so open? Well, one thing about James Packer, it is obviously very hard to get access to him. You said the Packer family are always very media shy. Mm. But one thing about James is when you actually sit down and look him in the eye, he is incredibly frank and incredibly open. And anybody that's been to a Crown annual meeting, they have one every year, there's another one next week. He won't be attending this one because he's no longer on the board, as you said. But when he's been there, I think everybody has always been amazed by how frank he is and how he's quite willing to answer any question that's thrown at him. And that is just James's nature. When you look him in the eye, he's incredibly open.
You documented there some of the pressures, Mariah Carey, the the impact of the GFC. Then there was the impact on the Macau resorts from the arrest of the Crown staff in China. That was a huge moment for him and really led to the abandonment of his global casino dreams. There was a lot of elements there, and as you detail so clearly in the book, he was crashing. He was in the hands of psychiatrists. He was using a lot of medication. He was drinking at all hours of the day. He'd wake up and swig from the bottle of vodka. So he was out of control. Mm-hmm. But there's one moment in the book where you quote him saying, "I'm going broke." Mm-hmm. Was that what the crash was about, his fear of going broke? And was that about being a failure, or was that about being a failure in the eyes of his father? Now, his father's no longer with him, but it was his father's empire, of course, that he was working on. What was the pressure about that? Because plenty of people go broke without necessarily quite that, you know, falling apart.
Yeah, but I think you've hit the nail on the head there. If you look at James Packer's life, and you look at he publicly acknowledges he's had three nervous breakdowns, and the most recent one, you know, was at the end of 2016. They have a common thread between them, and they are, as you said, he has this psychology in his mind that when he loses money, and loses money quickly, that he feels he is going broke. Now, for you and I, that's a very hard thing to contemplate because he still has lots of money. There's been no
time lots of assets, huge assets.
No time in his life when he's, you know, going to go bankrupt. But you're exactly right. He inherited, you know, $5 billion from his father. It has played on his mind right through his life that he maintains that wealth and builds that wealth. And I think that is one of the reasons why he pursued this global dream. If you remember, Kerry Packer never went offshore.
That's right. So he went global to differentiate himself from his father, or perhaps because the times were global.
Sure. And I mean, the opportunities came up. And for a time, you know, what he was doing globally was quite incredible. But as I document here, it was taking an incredible toll on him. I mean, basically, I think he says at one point he was flying on his private jet, you know, almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for a period. Now, it doesn't matter what sort of level of comfort you travel in, the human body can only take so much. And when you're drinking to the levels that he was drinking, it's well documented he's a chain smoker. I mean, that is not a, you know, a very healthy way to be living your life, and it takes your toll. But I think there's a point in the book where David Gonski, who's actually the executor with Lloyd Williams of his will, David makes the point that if James Packer hadn't have been born with the wealth that he had, he would not have carried the burden that he's had, and he probably would have been more successful than he's been. But he has carried that burden all the time. It's played on him. And psychologically, when things have gone wrong, which they have very notably and publicly, it's really consumed him.
He now feels quite clearly that with the falling apart of the global operation, the Macau operation, he feels he's lost his reputation. He feels perhaps he's done something irretrievable. Is it irretrievable? Is he getting himself into a state to try and retrieve that, or is he not even going to try and climb that mountain again?
Oh, I don't think he's ruling it out. I think he's already made the point on the record. It's a loose phrase, but he went off the Crown board, as you documented, but he does say, "I think I might have another run in me," so he leaves that door open. Mm. I think, as James mentions, and it's in our paper today, an extract, he's on a number of prescription drugs right now, which he acknowledges. And they have that they're helping him to be happier, but they've taken the edge off him. But I think that is a difficult task for him. And he makes the very powerful point in a quotation that "I'm on the US pharmaceutical treadmill," as he puts it. So I hope for his own sake that he can get back. I think the key thing for him now, the key sort of signpost, is going to be the opening of the Crown Sydney casino resort here at Barangaroo. That's sort of his next target, I guess, for perhaps some redemption, in terms of his reputation.
And just in terms of the redemption story, just finally, you know, it's been well documented. His relationship with his father was a tough one. His father was described often as a bully to a young James. James adored his father, as I can understand it. Do you, in the book, speak to him much about that relationship and the pressure of that relationship?
Yeah, we do. It's interesting. I would say that James, if you're talking to him, you know, post his father's death, he eulogises his father. He thinks of all the good things that they did together, which were many, and his father taught him an amazing number of things. But he also says very clearly that, there were things he saw and experienced as his father's son, you know, the things his father did, the way his father treated him, that have certainly had an impact on him. You know, post his father's passing. And I think he's found that some of those things very hard to escape from.
Okay. Damon, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Damon Kitney, journalist, longtime friend and contact of James Packer, and now author of the James Packer story, The Price of Fortune, The Untold Story of Being James Packer, which is available today in bookstores.